So Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 23, there's a lot in this verse. We may not get any further, but I'm going to read the verse. It says, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Now, what you've got here if you read the context of the passage, it's talking about in the body, the verse 22, of his flesh through death to present you. Now, watch this. I always get the context of a passage. He's talking about you were alienated in verse 1. You were enemies. Your mind had wicked works about it. But he said, now have you been reconciled. So you're reconciled side by side with the Lord. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh. But it says, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So there's going to be a time when you are brought unblameable and right in the sight of Jesus Christ. So can anybody tell me, when's that going to be? Well, it ain't right now. I'm not unblameable in the sight right now. When's that going to be? Well, after we rise up, and it's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Because the thing is, it's got to be after that judgment seat. But see, we can't until we get that new body. He's talking about, friends, you're not going to be unblameable because, friends, we sin every day. But now, thank God that one of these days, He's going to give us a body that we're not going to be able to sin. You imagine having a body, no matter what you think is going to be holy, no matter what you think it's not going to be sin, you're going to be able to think whatever you want to, it's not going to offend the Lord. And man, that's going to be good. Because you know what gets me? Y'all in here right now, man, you can clean up. The Lord will clean you up, man. And as you get closer to the Lord, you get to dropping off that baggage and dropping off more sins and dropping off. And before long, there's a lot of things you don't do in your outward body. But guess what? Then you got to deal with your thoughts.
That's right.
Man, then you got your thoughts, man. I tell you what, I wouldn't be afraid to say anybody in here, I wouldn't want the past 24 hours worth of thoughts put up on the screen right there. I wouldn't before y'all. I thank God that God knows them and y'all don't. Because y'all say, what's that man doing preaching? Well, the thing is, it's only going to be then when you get all that straightened out. Now, the Lord straightens a lot out here. But friends, one of these days, you're not even your thoughts are going to be clean. Amen. Brother, that's going to be a blessing. Amen. So there's going to be a time that He's going to present you. So that, then He says this, how are you going to be unblameable and unreprovable in His sight? He says, continue in the faith and grounded and settled and move not away from the hope. See, the thing is, you got to realize that through reading this word right here and through submitting to the Holy Spirit, He is getting you to a point and getting you ready for the judgment seat of Christ. Because, friend, the saved, you're going to be, this right here is the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know how many of y'all can see that, but it may not be big enough for you. But we're going to be taken up, and at the time of Jacob's trouble, we're going to be up here in the judgment seat of Christ, and guess what? He says, you're going to be tried for the deeds done. The deeds are works. So what's happening is your sin was judged at Calvary, but guess what? At the judgment seat of Christ, the things that we've done this body, you think about it. There's some Christians there who don't yield to the Holy Spirit like they ought to. Well, guess what? Anything done for the flesh, this is a dead corpse. It'll be burned up. The Bible says, the day shall declare it. Well, who's the day? The day is Jesus Christ. The Bible says He's the Son of righteousness. Guess what? It said the fire, it'll be thrown into the fire. Your works will be thrown. Well, who's the fire? The Bible says our God is a consuming fire.
Right.
Guess what else? His eyes are as a flame of fire. So guess what? Anything, you think about this. How does that judgment seat of Christ work? What is that fire? You ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and wonder what that fire is? Well, think about this. Anything you do by the Holy Spirit right now, that is approved of God. Why? The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God in you. So guess what? Any works you did while you yielded to the Holy Spirit, God done that work through you. So guess what? That work is going to be tried, and it's going to come forth as gold, silver, and precious stone. It's going to come. It's going to abide the fire. And guess what else? It'll even get purer. But you know what else? This old flesh right here that's going to the grave, This is a dead corpse, and any works that it's got is flammable, and they're going to burn up. So any day that we spend, and that's why I tell y'all, you can't get your time back. That's why it's so important of how we spend our time, because you can't get that time back. You think about all that wasted time that we waste
on things we ought not do. Hey, you're going to throw it in the fire, and it's not going to match up with God. Because anything you did by the Holy Spirit will perfectly match up with God. That was God working through you. So Jesus, whenever he tries it in the fire of himself, everything's going to be measured by Jesus. Well, it'll abide the fire. But anything that you do in this flesh is going to be wood, hay, and stubble. And y'all know wood is flammable, man. Hay is flammable. Stubble is flammable.
And so that's what he's talking about there. Now, what happens there? Let me give you a verse on that judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians
5:10. I don't know if y'all can see those, but I'll try to write them down to give you a little time to turn there.
But I'd like for y'all to mark these verses in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 reads this. He's speaking to Christians here. So the context is Christians. How do you know? Because verse 8 says to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Well, only Christians can do that. So verse 9 says, wherefore we labor. So this is your works here, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For what? Verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. See, that's different than the great white throne judgment. That everyone may receive the things done. That's the works by Christ in his body. See, it's a reward seat. You're going to lose rewards or gain them according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You know, people say, well, y'all Christians, y'all make out like a Christian can't lose anything. Let me tell you something. When a Christian stands before an Almighty God, Jesus Christ, and do you know Jesus is able to show a Christian on this right side here, on this right side, you think about on this right side, all these works. I mean, I can't draw good. Stacked up so high of all these works that they could, you know, that's what they could have had they yielded to him. You imagine staring that Almighty God right there in the face, and he died for you. And you imagine him saying, this right here is what you could have had. Now look, throw it in the fire. And man, that burns down. And that Christian stands there and looks God in the face, and he's got maybe that much left. That'd be awful, wouldn't it? You imagine staring Jesus in the face, and he said, there's that waste of time, and there's all that right there. And he said, man, don't you know that'd break your heart? And friend, that's the judgment seat. And that's why he's telling you. Paul's saying, look, you know why they thought Paul was rude in speech? Do you know he said, the more I love you, the less I'm loved. You know, that's so true. But what he's saying is, he said, I'm trying to get you ready for the judgment seat. You know, a lot of times people don't want to sit under a preacher. But what they don't realize is that preacher's trying to get you ready. He's trying to get you stirred up so you want to live for God and fight hard as you can fight. Why? So because he wants you to have, man, a preacher that's worth his salt ought to want you to have as much. He ought to want you to have the biggest stack you can have up there at that judgment seat. Why? So you can say, Jesus, I lived for you. I served you. I loved you. Man, I want to do all I could do for you. Why? Because you died for me. And so you've got that, and you imagine on the left, a lot of folks like Lot, all that stuff just burn up. You imagine Lot look back and everything he had burn up. And well, man, it ain't worth it. Man, nothing's worth that. So there's the judgment seat. Now, guess what? Believers will be presented in His sight. So you're going to be right in the sight of Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And it says this. In verse 14. He's speaking to Timothy here. And he's telling Timothy about this judgment seat here, or about things about coming before the Lord here.
1 Timothy what?
Chapter 6, and
I'll write it down for anybody else. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 14.
It says this: that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's going to be a time when you appear before the Lord. And what he's been telling him in all those things is, let me just read some of these things he's telling them. He's saying some people are proud, knowing nothing, doting about questions and strifes of words, and whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. He's telling them, look, remember all these things, because there's going to be people come in who make out like that gain is godliness. And he said, there's going to be people who want to strive with you. Do you know there's people right now that love to get you in an argument? They'd love to get you in an argument. You know, I tell you, if you're ever thinking about arguing with somebody, think about this before you get in that argument. Is this person wanting to learn something here, or is this person just wanting to argue with me for sake of argument? If you've got somebody who's wanting to learn, hey, it's always worth it to get in and talk with them there and talk things out if they want to learn. And if you can talk with them in a peaceful manner. But if you've ever got somebody who just, you know, some people just want to start fighting this, right? And friend, it ain't worth it. Just leave them alone. Why? But he's telling them right there, he's telling you, just leave them alone. He said, withdraw yourself. Some people, you got to realize, y'all, some people thrive on getting an argument with somebody else. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So leave them alone. Now, that's what the Bible says, leave them alone. But he says this, back to Colossians. There's a lot of verses on it, but let me tell you what he says, though, in that verse. He says this, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now, what is the hope? The hope is this, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:1, He is our hope. So guess what? What else is our hope? The redemption of our body. Romans chapter 8 says, not only is Christ our hope, but guess what? Being able to shed this thing off. I talk about that all the time, because I can tell you why. Because one of these days, friend, the fact that we're going to be able to get out of this sinful flesh and get in a body we sure enough serve God in. I like to say sure enough serve. To really serve God in. Friend, that's our hope, man. Why? Because we're going to be like Christ. Christ is the hope, and that body we're going to get, we're going to be like Christ. That's a hope, man. And so he said, don't be moved away from that. Do you know that there right now there are things that'll move you, the devil will try to move you away from that. He'll try to get you bogged down in this world and try to get you to think that the things that are going on in this world are more important than things of God. Let's look at some of those hindrances. Galatians. Move over to Galatians chapter number 5. Chapter number 5. Y'all know who the hinderer is. But I just want to give you the verses so you can see it. Galatians 5 and 17, and verse 17. Galatians 5, 17 says this. It says, hold on. No, it's 5, 7. I'm sorry, I wrote that down wrong. Watch this. He says in verse 7, ye did run well. So somebody's running well at first. But watch this. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Somebody hindered them that they should not obey. And what he's doing, he said, you need to get back to work. Now, you know what? There are things that have come up in your life that will hinder you. And do you know the Bible tells you who's at the root of that hindrance? Y'all know who it is? Look at 1 Thessalonians. I'll show you how to run these references here. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 13. So what we'll do is, if I want to know who's hindering, I'll say, who's hindering? I'll look up that word hinder, and I'll follow that hinder through there. So 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 13. You've got Paul wanting to come see some of his brothers and sisters in Christ. And guess what happens here in verse 18? You'll see Satan in verse 18. Why? 18, 6 times 3. 666. Look here, he says, wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. Watch this. But Satan, what'd he do? Hindered us. You see, Satan hindered the Christian. You know, sometimes you'll have a good motive to go. Y'all ever done it? Have a good motive to go see somebody, go visit them, or try to get together with somebody. Satan hinders you. Well, friend, don't let Satan hinder you. And don't let Satan get you removed away. Why? Because Satan would love to get you so bogged down in the problems of this world. And that way you don't have time to focus on God. Do you know right now, this world, it makes me sick to see how busy this world gets us. And the thing is, y'all know that, hey, I got to tell you, you know you can come in here and you can have yourself a spiritual service and get close to, and you can walk out of here, you feel recharged. You can tell you, your whole day goes better. Because I can tell you, the day I miss church, I feel, people talk about feeling, I feel like I'm just bogged down.
I just bogged down. What happens? You come in here and it recharges you back and get around other brothers and sisters in Christ because you know they're going through the same things you are. And man, they're having a hard time. They've had a hard week and you get in here together and you get to praising God and you get to sing and say, hold on a minute, this world ain't my home anyway. And one of these days I've got something better on. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, thank the Lord this world isn't all. I wouldn't know what to do if this is all I had to look for. It's just what this world had to offer. And sometimes the Lord lets you get a taste of what's on the other side over there.
And so don't let Satan hinder you from having a hope in you. Now, back to Colossians. I hope that kind of clears that up. Now, back to Colossians. He said this, and this may have confused some of you, but we're going to get into some rightly dividing this morning. And he says this. He says, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, if any of y'all have already came through Brother Stauffer's stuff on Rightly Dividing, y'all might have seen that he points out that it is an error that people say, well, the end can't come until the gospel's been preached to every creature. That Bible right there said that this gospel, the grace of God, this gospel that is presented in this present age right here is the gospel of the grace. Now, he says at that time it's already been preached to every creature. Let me give you another verse. Look at Colossians 1 verse 4. We'll just prove it through the Scripture and unravel and see. Do you know what? I'm telling you, this is as true as the day is long. Kingdom builders are bloody killers. And what I mean by that is, you're Roman Catholics, let me tell you what they teach. They hate this verse right here. They want to get you in a different age. You know, let me tell you why. They want to get you to say, hey, give all your money to us. We're putting the gospel out all over the whole world. When you know what happened, about 10 cents out of that dollar goes to the actual cause.
Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1.
There you go. See, you're getting it there. And you know what happens? They get to telling you, hey, we're really promoting it. Everybody's got to hear the gospel. Paul said this gospel here back then, the world had heard it. What's God doing now that's different than what He's going to do? Right now, God's calling out Himself a bride. Friend, if you're saved, you're different than anybody else that'll ever be, or you're going to be the bride of Christ. But now, there's coming a time when the gospel of the kingdom is preached again. That's the kingdom. The king is coming. That thing's going to be preached to everybody before the Lord comes back. This one right here, gospel of the grace of God. Friend, let me tell you something about folks. Those people over in them other countries over there, and man, don't think for a minute I'm not for missionaries, because I'm for it. But you got to be real careful who you pour your money into, because people will rob you because they pervert the Scripture. A lot of people rob people and take money from them, and they not even putting that money to the gospel anyway. Uh-huh. You know what? There's people over there who don't care one thing about the gospel, don't care one thing about God, and you know what? They know right from wrong, because the Bible says their conscience is convicting them. And if anybody wants that gospel, they'll be like Cornelius over there in Acts chapter 10. God will make sure it gets to them.
That's right.
In the tribulation, God's going to send out 144,000 Jewish virgins. And not only that, you're going to have the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, out there doing all them signs. And you're going to have the gospel of the kingdom. The king is coming, just like John the Baptist preached. He's going to be saying the king is coming. And so it's going to literally be at hand. That's going to be preached. That's Matthew chapter 24. But this one here, friends, he said, look at verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, it says, hold on, I may have gave y'all the wrong reference here. Yeah, verse 5, look at this. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. And see, look at verse 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world. He said that thing been preached in all the world then. Now look at Romans 16. Romans 16, we'll give you another verse to show that. Because this is what you got. I told y'all, kingdom builders are bloody killers. But when people start telling you, well, we're building the kingdom, let me tell you what they think they're going to do. They think by war, they think that they can, all right, like Hitler, for instance. Hitler wanted a perfect race where it was just blonde hair, blue eyes, 6 foot tall people. And he thought, hey man, we get this perfect race in, guess what will happen? We'll have a utopia here. And he said, everything will be just right. Well, guess what? He was wrong.
Do you know that nobody, let's just say we fed all the hungry, we clothed all the poor, let's say we gave everybody a cell phone and fed every hungry belly that was hungry right now. Do you think this world would be any better?
No.
Sure would. People, we got to realize, and this world needs to realize, thank God y'all do, this world got to realize until King Jesus gets here, it don't matter how good you clean it up, it don't matter if you stop global warming like they think they're going to do, it don't matter what you do, until King gets here, there's going to be no peace. So they can try that all it's going to do, y'all know this, you can watch that news, you're blue in the face, but let me tell you when they're about to really do something. It don't take a genius to figure it out. The more they get talking about peace, 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 the more war you get, don't you? And the worse things get. Why? Because the Bible said when they say peace, peace, sudden destruction. Why? Because you're not going to get perfect peace until Jesus gets here.
Amen.
And what's the thing? You know how you're supposed to cure the real thing? Is look, get folks saved, and that way they'll have a hope to get out of here. That way whenever the bad thing gets out of there, at least their soul's saved. People are trying so hard to get these bodies fixed up when God said the main thing, get your soul right. Why? Because this body, he's going to give you a, if this body's so bad, he's going to give you a new one.
Amen.
And see, look at Romans 16, 26 is the verse. It says, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known, that's present tense, to all nations, for the obedience of faith. People say, well, I need to obey. I need to get baptized to be saved. I need to obey. That verse right there just told you obedience of faith. Somebody wants to obey God, they need to obey the faith and trust Jesus Christ. Do you know anything anyone does outside of the faith of Jesus Christ is sin. So until somebody gets saved, none of their works count anyway. So someone has to get saved. They have to have the obedience of faith before anything they do counts. And man, I wish this world could get that. It makes your life so much more simple to know that, look, it's got to be Christ working in you to do anything anyway. And man, that makes life simple. So I hope y'all see that on that rightly dividing. And we're going to come through this a good bit in Colossians. Now I'm going to read Colossians 1 verse 24. It says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you? Look at Paul. He's rejoicing in sufferings for somebody else. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. You know what I like about Paul? He can jam so much in one little old sentence. Now first, I want to tell you this. Paul rejoiced in what most find repulsive. Do you know most people find sufferings for Christ repulsive? But you know what? The Bible said it's given on for you in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Do you know that the apostles in Acts chapter 5, whenever they got whipped and they got beat, you know, they counted it glory and they counted it honor to be able to suffer for His sake. Do you know that whenever you're trying to live for the Lord and things are coming against you, you know you got to realize that you must be doing something right. The devil's hating you. That's what that is. A lot of times, whenever you don't have any opposition, you don't have anything ever bad happen to you, you know, a lot of times that's because you're on the devil's side. Now, you got to get that thing right. I'm going to tell you, if you're working for Jesus Christ, the devil can't stand you, and he's going to try to oppose you. If the devil ain't opposing me, I know I'm on the wrong foot. I need to get on the other side over there. And friend, we're supposed to be in collision with him and not collusion. So, you got Paul there. Now, another thing, too. He found it good fellowship there. I want to give you a verse before I go back in this dividing thing here and show you something here that ought to bless your heart if you're going through hard times. Look at Philippians chapter number 3, just probably two pages back in your Bible. Philippians chapter 3, I want to read this to you. He says this in verse 10, that I may know Him. Now how is he going to get to know Him? How are you going to get to know Him real good? Watch this. It says, and the power of His resurrection. Man, that's a statement. Watch this. And the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Isn't that amazing? You want a fellowship with Christ? You know what? Oftentimes the people and the times in your life you get closer to Christ than you've ever been and being closer fellowship with Him when you're going through something tough. Why? Because y'all, most people don't praise God on the mountaintops. Not to say all of them don't, But normally, if you're not going through something, you don't pray like you ought to, and your prayers don't have the flavor that they have to them. I tell you what, sometimes you have a hard time come about, and you have some sickness come about. That drives you to your knees like you've never been driven to your knees before. And you know, it's a bad thing that it's like that, but as humans, we're often like that. Why? Because the flesh has to be put down. That flesh. Yeah, I'll tell you what, thank the Lord that He knows how to whip that flesh. A lot of times we'll get up and we kind of see we're getting a little haughty. You know, the Lord says, uh-oh, let me get my sword out here. I got to cut that flesh back. Why? For our own good. Because He loves us. Thank the Lord He loves us enough not to let that flesh take over. I thank the Lord for it. Now He said, that's if you want to be in close fellowship, He said, that's a good way to do it. And He said, being a sufferer. Why? Because we're soldiers. You know why? One reason why I don't like these new tunes that they got coming out and they're changing our hymns to praise Him, praise Him, praise Him over and over again. You know what you got right there? You can praise the devil. Man, with that music, if there's no doctrine taught, that's why we sing the old hymns, the power and the blood. Some people say, well, that gets old. Well, friend, that's doctrine, man. Power in the blood, man. I mean, you think, why? Because there ain't no power in the blood of Satan. Satan ain't got no blood. Well, see, a lot of these modern songs are not military beats. See, people say, well, the beat don't matter to the music. Listen to this. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. See, you hear that? That's a march. But these new songs, that's not a march. What you've got is Satan has changed the beat, and a lot of people, it passed right by them, and you see that one march will go with any song. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. See that military beat. Why? We're soldiers. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians. You wonder why? If you want to tell a spiritual hymn, the Bible says praise Him with spiritual hymns. You know how you tell a spiritual hymn? It's a soldier song because we're soldiers.
Amen.
Look at Philippians 1 in verse, it's going to be Philippians 1 verse 29. It says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him but also to suffer for His sake. Why? Watch verse 30. Having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now hear to be in me. Who gets in a conflict? Soldiers. We're in a conflict, a spiritual conflict. And why are those old hymns marches? Because you're soldiers marching as to war. Now look at verse 27. Jump down about middle ways at verse. It says that ye stand. Now y'all remember over in Ephesians it says stand four times about the armor of God. Fast in one spirit with one mind. Watch this. This is what soldiers do. Striving together. For the faith of the gospel. You see what soldiers are doing? You're in a conflict, you're standing, and you're striving together. Well, see, that's why we got soldiers' beats. And friends, I tell you this, we are to keep the old paths. Why? Because He tells you you're a soldier in a war. And He tells you that over in Jeremiah 6:16, He begged them to stay on the old paths. Why? Because He knew that if they would have stayed on them old paths, they'd stay close to God.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, it's the old paths that keep you right with God. It's these new paths that they've got. And friends, what's happened is, the devil's so subtle, he slipped that stuff in, and they're singing hymns, and they don't even realize they're singing hymns to the devil, many of them.
That's right.
They don't even realize. Because see, there's a spirit behind everything you do. There's a spirit behind it. You think, I know I'm running over time, but I want to tell you this. In the Old Testament, David played music and spiritual music on the harp to run an evil spirit away from Saul. Now, without going into a bunch of scriptures, if good spiritual music can run an evil spirit away, don't you know that evil music can bring an evil spirit in? Now, friend, Carl and I seen this the other day. Some of these kids were in a particular place that we went by, and they were listening to this music, and that music was talking about doing drugs, and that music had a jungle beat to it, and that music, it was talking about all these things, and these kids were over there making motions with their body. What happened is, there was a spirit controlling. They didn't even realize it, y'all.
And you know this thing's taking over, and people think, well, I can just put whatever into my mind. Well, I tell you what we allow into this ear gate, this is a gate right here, and what you allow into that ear right there affects how your body works. And people wonder why. And y'all, I'm telling you, I'm scared of it. There was a time when I didn't know enough about it, but I can tell you this, I'm scared of it now. And friend, people say, well, will that affect me? I tell you what, it sure will. I can tell you this right here. You can't get close to God and listen to that junk. And friend, they can't fool me on that stuff. And you know what happened? They've taken away the military march. And you wonder why Christians aren't fighting anymore? Because they're not marching anymore. You take the march out. Now you think about this. You get here and you get to singing these spiritual hymns and you get to reading that Bible and you get to praying and stuff. You know what to happen? That you'll have your armor on, and the devil comes around, the devil sees you've got that armor on, brother, and then he knows he's got a fight on his hand. You know what happened a lot of times? If he knocked somebody's armor off, well, friend, don't you know they're no match for the devil. But if you got God's armor on, well, friend, how in the world is he going to get to when you got his armor on? I want my armor on, brother. And so let's keep it on.